So, by applause, why don't you help me welcome Springboro that's joining us right now live in Northmont, and many that are joining us online right now. Would you just shoot that by applause? Thank you for joining us. I want to welcome all of you as well that are here at Centerville. We're glad to have you here today. How many of you brought your Echo book with you? Let me see it. Wave them up high. Okay, not so many. Well, we got more. There you go. You found it there. If you're here and you're a guest in any one of our campuses and you would like an Echo book, because this explains the vision that we've been talking about, we are in week 4 of our series entitled Echo, where we're talking about our vision as a church and we're looking at who God is in Scripture, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. And so very, very excited about this. But let me make sure it's very clear. If you're relatively new, this is a booklet that describes what we're going to do. In other words, we believe over the next 2 years that God is leading us to do this in response to what He is already doing within us as a church family. I don't know if you know this or not, but over the last 5 years, we've seen just under 4,000 people that have made a decision for Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad about that? Isn't that awesome? And as a result of that, we're responding to God and saying we want to continue to reach people in the Springboro community and Northmont community and Centerville, and as we move to Beaver Creek, we've been talking about that, so that's very exciting. And in this book, we have 3 tabs. We want to talk about how we want to echo farther. We talked about how we want to get Springboro in a permanent facility. And so that's really important. We talked about how we're going to move to Beaver Creek, and that's really exciting. Last week, we talked about Echo Louder, meaning that we're going to do what we're doing now, just do it better. So we're going to renovate some of the Centerville community, seats here in the Centerville Worship Center. And so that's pretty exciting for us as well. And then today, I'm going to address the Echo Longer. So would you just take your Echo books, if you have them, and just turn to that tab, because we're going to be talking about echoing longer and what that means. We want to make sure that we do our ministries here at Fairhaven really, really well over the next number of years. And so as a result of what God is doing, and as a result of us coming together and thinking about our vision, we believe that God is calling us to invest $7 million in this vision plan. And as a church, if we do it together, it's amazing what God can do. As over the years, next week, you got to come back, because next week, I'm going to lay out a little bit of the history of Fairhaven Church. It's incredible that some of you don't know that we started out with 12 families. Isn't that crazy? 12 families. And God has just done incredible things. We've been talking about this card here, and we've been calling this the prayer card. It's upside down here, prayer card. And you have it on your refrigerator already. Some of you have it in your Bibles. Some of you have it on your work desk, wherever it might be. And we're asking you to be praying about this. Next Sunday is the opportunity for us to take this prayer card and move to a commitment and make an offering to God. So don't miss next Sunday. It's going to be an amazing Sunday. Again, a defining moment for us as a church family as we move forward. And so take this card and be praying about it, because we believe that great things are going to happen. And we hope that the entire church family, I told you last week, and I'll say it again, success for us here at Fairhaven is not that we raise a certain number of dollars. Success for us is if we get 100% engagement, when all of us are moving together as a church family. And if you call Fairhaven Church home, I think you'll want to consider this and at least be praying about this. This could be your next step. If you're new to Fairhaven, not brand new, but if you're new in the last 6 months or a year, this could be the very first step for you, that you could join in with us as we desire to change our city and the world around us, as God is doing great things. And so we're very, very excited about next week. Don't miss it. It might help you to know that on Friday night, this last Friday night, just a couple nights ago, I invited all of the leaders at Fairhaven Church from all the different campuses. I told the governing board, who's, they're the group that I report to. I said, I think it'd be great if you could come and you could lead the way. And so we brought the governing board. We asked all the leaders from all the campuses, all the staff came, and we had this night of worship, and we called it our advance commitment night. And you need to know that on Friday night, about 250 of us gathered in Beaver Creek, just to pray through where God would lead us, and we were at the middle school there, and we don't know if that's going to be the location, but we set it up like we do at Springboro. You can see the images here, and it was an awesome time for us to be able to worship. We heard stories. Tim Cornell is from the Centerville campus. He's one of our governing board members. There he is, and he told about how he came to Jesus when he was 29 years of age, and he said that there are many, many, many Tim Cornells out there that we need to do a job in making sure that we reach them. And then Faith Vision from the Springboro campus, she talked about how change for her is really hard, and I don't know if that defines you or describes you, and she said that a part of this will help her in her own life as she is experiencing change and so forth. Our governing board chairman stood up and said, thank you. And so on behalf of the governing board, I get the opportunity to do that. Thank you for your generosity over the years. And what an exciting thing for us to be able to do that. In your booklets, if you have them open to the Echo longer, we're going to be talking about two things. We want to talk about kids. We want to talk about students. Students, I'll be with you tonight. I'm really excited to be able to be there with you tonight. We care about the next generation. And if you've been at Fairhaven for any length of time, I talk about the next generation over and over again by raised hand in all of our campuses. How many of you agree that if we don't reach the next generation, we are not doing our job as a church? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high. And so we are passionate about that. We want to reach the next generation. I want to tell you about a couple that's attending Fairhaven Church here. Their names are Chris and Jordan Manier. Chris was raised here. Chris was a little boy at Fairhaven Church. His mom and dad brought him to Fairhaven Church. And he's been part of our church family for a long, long time. He discovered Jordan, and they got married, and now they have two sons, and they're making Fairhaven Church home. And guess what they want in their lives? They want those two little boys to understand Jesus early on. Am I right? And so it's really incredible to see their story. In fact, watch this. This is their story.
I'm Chris Manier. This is my wife, Jordan. We have two boys, Ashton and Charlie. So something that impacted our life was when we were a part of the newly married group when we first got married back in 2007. We were able to meet a whole lot of people who were in the same stage of life as us, just newlyweds, wanting to get together and just hang out and enjoy the fact that, you know, they're rooting for us, we're rooting for them, and being able to lean on that whenever, you know, we were needing some help or
prayer
or prayer or yeah, lots of prayer. The reason we give to Fairhaven is because we see the impact it's making in our lives. We see the impact it's making in the lives of our family. We see the impact it's making in our communities in terms of helping of the needy and the poor. And we also see more people coming to Jesus, which is the ultimate goal.
You know, you're giving back to the church, but then you're also, it's reaching the communities and, you know, giving to the mission field, and you're helping further the kingdom of God, which is what, you know, we're here on earth to do.
One of the things I'm excited about at Fairhaven is the continued growth of the church. I think the vision there is you go to where the people are, as opposed to saying we'll build it and the people will come to us. Mm-hmm. And so that's, in my mind, that's very wise. That's kind of what excites me about Echo is, you know, we're going to the people where they're at, where their homes are, and where their community is. And so us, with the vision of finding a location in Beaver Creek, that just, I think, is going to open more doors and be more positive for the future.
There's so many different locations that they're wanting to open, you know, and just expand the Fairhaven community. You know, they have, you know, Springboro and Northmont, but, you know, they want to go even farther than that.
You know, for me, the impact that Fairhaven has had in my life has been further reaching than just the current now. I mean, from junior high all the way to high school, being involved in missions trips and being able to do good for people in the, not only the Dayton community, but for the U.S. And then we also went on a missions trip to Bolivia. That was a very life-changing for me. Overall, Fairhaven has always been there for us, and I want to be able to help give those who do not know Fairhaven an opportunity to know Fairhaven and to come to know the Lord and to impart wisdom, biblical wisdom, into them. I think Echo is very important not only to give back to those who came before us, but also to further the kingdom of God. We'll never know the 100% the impact, but being a part of something that can be bigger than us is a real opportunity for us as a church.
Leaving that legacy, you know, even when we're not here to see it, you know, that's the legacy of what we're doing and how it's impacting others is what's important.
Hey, help me thank Chris and Jordan for telling the story. Amazing, isn't it? It's awesome. We do want to reach the kids and the students, and they become adults, and they get to serve, and they get to have kids themselves, and it's just absolutely amazing. One of the other things you'll notice if your Echo booklets are open to that tab is that we care about the next generation of leaders. A couple of years ago, got the idea with talking to some leaders here at Fairhaven that if we're gonna think about our next 20 years and our next 40 years, and we think about our Fairhaven Church making sure that we continue to be relevant over the next years when we're not even around, we gotta get some young leaders. And I think you'd agree with me, right? We gotta get some young leaders. And so we began what we call a residency program. And we are going to invest a little bit more in that because these are young millennials that we have brought on staff. We're not even giving them a salary. We're giving them a stipend, and we take care of their housing, and they get to be a part of a team of their choosing. They get to take their college degree and put it to work in some area of ministry that they feel like God is calling them to. And so I want to introduce you to a few of them. Would that be all right if I did that? Come on, follow me. Let me introduce you to a couple of our residents that are here at the Centerville campus, and they're all sitting right here. And I want to introduce them to you and tell you where they're serving. This is Zach Noyes, and Zach is working part of our central support, and he's involved in operations and guest services. And right next to him is Will Reeves, and Will is working with our student ministry. So if you've got high school kids, you probably see Will's face. We've got Caleb and Jordan Cottrell. They're married, actually, and Caleb is working with the student ministries, and Jordan is working with the kids ministry. And we've got Jenna Schindler, who grew up in this church family, and so here's someone else who grew up in our church family, and she's working along with the student ministries as well. And on the end there is Andrew Julian, and Andrew also grew up in this church. You may have heard the Julian name. His father was the senior pastor two senior pastors ago, and so he's involved in our outreach ministry here. And isn't it great to have these young leaders here today? Guys, would you just help me welcome all these young leaders, 20-somethings? I've asked Will, on behalf of all of you guys here today, and then those that are on the campuses, which I'll introduce in just a little bit, to just respond. Will, tell us why this residency program has really been effective and has helped you and these guys sitting next to you.
Thanks, David. So last August, I moved back home after a summer of looking for ministry jobs. I felt a call to do ministry. But everywhere I looked, everywhere I applied, I saw closed doors. So I came and moved back home in August and felt very discouraged, feeling that I wanted to do ministry. I felt like I was called to it, but just was not given the chance. And so it was a family member of mine who brought me to Fairhaven, who told me about the residency program. And it's been so cool to see how God had closed those doors so that I could be here for this 2 years. And so that's been an amazing thing. For the residency program, it's really changed my life. Just being around an amazing staff who not only encourages and affirms me in my gifts and callings, but also challenges me in areas that I'm weak in. And so for me, it has only confirmed my calling to ministry. And so I'm so thankful for Fairhaven for providing me with this time. We just want to thank you guys from all the past residents and present and those that will come. For your willingness to invest in our lives, know that you guys are making a difference in our lives and making a difference to the next generation. Thank you.
Isn't that awesome? We have residents on the other campus as well. Down in Springboro, we have Esther. Esther is working as a part of our ministry arts ministry down there. She's helping out. She's got an amazing voice. And then we've got Jesse Toller, who's up at the Northmont campus, and he also is working in the worship ministry arts area, and it's really, really awesome. At Classics, we had a resident there, Paul Siebold, who graduated from the 2 years, and we hired him. And he's working as a millennial, helping out our classic environment, and it's just really, really awesome. And I think you'd agree with me, church, that isn't it awesome that the millennials are not just the church of the future, they're the church of the present. We want them to help us now and to lead in order that we might better reach the next generation. And so on behalf of all of our campuses and all those that are right here, would you give them a huge Fairhaven thank you for being such great leaders? And now, why don't you stand before we dive into God's Word and say hello to the people around you and tell them how sad you are about Ohio State. Did you bring a Bible with you, a device with you? Why don't you turn with me to the New Testament? Because in this series, like I said, we've been doing two things. We've been looking at our vision, and then we've been looking at who God is. Because when you look at vision that God gives you, it's daunting. But then when you look into God's Word and you see who God is, it makes it a whole lot better. Mark is the second book in the New Testament. Why don't you turn with me to Mark, Mark chapter 12. I'll tell you exactly what story we'll be looking at there. But we are in week 4 of this series, Echo, and it's exciting to see that God is giving to us this vision, and he's telling us through his Word who he is. Echo comes right out of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a prophet in the Old Testament. We've looked at the Old Testament the last couple of weeks, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Here's what he says. He says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame." Habakkuk, thousands and thousands of years ago, says, "I heard the stories." Habakkuk says, "I've got a story." In a sense, he's saying that right here. That's why we've passed out thousands of shirts that says, "I have a story." Because you have a story, I have a story, we all have a story. And so Habakkuk says right here, "Lord, I've heard of your fame, I've heard of the stories, and I stand in awe of your deeds." How many of you were here a couple of weeks ago when I asked you to stand if God has done something in your life? I'm not going to ask you to do that today. What I'm going to ask you to do is just raise your hand, just to remind ourselves. How many of you had answered prayer? How many of you have seen God do something? How many of you know that God is at work in your life? Would you just raise your hand? Look all over the room. It's amazing. Balcony, mezzanine. I see him way up in the back there. It's amazing. We stand in awe of what God is. This whole Echo series is about responding to God. And then Habakkuk says, "Lord, repeat them in our day." It's as if he's standing on the edge of a canyon, and he says, "Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it." There's an echo, if you will, all through history. In fact, the prayer that I have had as we started this series, and I started thinking about this a year and a half ago, if you can believe that, was, "God, do it again. God, do it again." I mean, we've had marriages that have been healed. God, do it again. We've had addictions that have been conquered. God, do it again. We've had people praying for illnesses, and God has been working and healing in some cases. And my prayer, God, do it again. We've been thinking about our student ministry, and I don't know if you think about this or not, but we've got high school students that are in their teen years. And how many of you would agree with me that to be a teenager today is much harder than it was 30 years ago? Would you agree with me, church? We've got to help them, and God, do it again. Would you do something in their life, and would you help us to be a church that raises up these young leaders? Do it again. That's been the prayer. So 3 weeks ago, we discovered through Scripture that God always comes through. You know, when you yield your life to him, God always comes through. He doesn't sometimes come through the way we want him to and in the time that we want him to, but here's what you can take to the bank. God always, always, always comes through. And you can see that as you read the Bible from cover to cover, you can see how God always comes through. Secondly, we said that God is our resupplier. He always supplies what we need. It's no wonder that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Don't worry," which I don't know about you, but that's hard, right? I mean, I think we just naturally worry, and Jesus says, "Don't worry," and here's why, because he's gonna take care of us. He's going to supply, and he's even going to resupply in our lives. And we've seen that. You've seen that. I've seen that in my own life. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we talked about the fact that God cares about your heart. And here's the reason why. Because if God has your heart, it's going to impact your actions. If God has your heart, your desires are going to change. If God has your heart, you're going to treat your spouse differently. If God has your heart, you're going to behave differently at work. If God has your heart, it changes everything. If God has your heart, it is not difficult to talk about a church coming together and being generous to make sure that people around the world hear who Jesus is. Am I right, church? It takes the heart. This week, what I want to do with you is look in Mark chapter 12 at a story, a short story, that if you're not careful, you could kind of read over it, or you could actually manipulate the story. And I assure you today that I want to do nothing more than not to manipulate out of this story. And yet in this story, Jesus pulls his disciples together and tells them some important things that I think are important for you and I to remember as we find ourselves in this series. Let me read it for you. Mark chapter 12 starts in verse 41. Let me read it, and then you can jot some notes down in your book. If you have your Echo book, you can turn to page 48, 49, I believe it is, in your book, and you can jot some of these things down. Here's the story. And he, that's Jesus, and he sat down opposite the treasury, or the boxes that were in the temple where people gave, opposite the treasury, and watched the people put money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. You can kind of see that in this story here, it'd be really easy to manipulate, right? I mean, I could say, you know what? What God wants you to do is sacrifice, give it all. In fact, when I was a kid, I heard this story, and it felt wrong as I heard the story. So I've done lots and lots of research. I have prayed and read the story many, many, many times. I read the verses before, and I read the verses after, and I think it's pretty clear that if you really look at what's going on here and what Jesus is doing here, it begins to make sense. And there's no manipulation at all here. This is great stuff. Here's what happened. Jesus, it's like Tuesday of the week that he's going to die. And so Jesus is in the temple, knowing that about 3 or 4 days, he's going to be hung on the cross for you and for me. And he's sitting there in the temple, and he's watching people. Because in the temple, if you know the way the temple was structured, they had 12 treasury boxes, not unlike our campus here where we have boxes on the way out if you wanted to give something toward God, or in all of our campuses. So in the temple, they had these boxes, and Jesus was sitting there, and he saw this lady. He saw her. A widow. And the widow walks up and she puts in two coins. And then he calls the disciples over and says, guys, you got to hear this. And he calls them over like he's doing today. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're a disciple. And he's calling us together. And Jesus tells them three things that we find right here in this story. Write these three things down, because they're simple, but they're profound. First thing he says is this: everyone matters. Everyone matters. See, the reason why he singled out the widow is because in the first century, the widows were taken advantage of. The widows were nothing. In fact, the verses before, Jesus actually warns the leaders because they were abusing the widows. They were stealing their houses. So in the first century, there was no 401k. There was no retirement plan. If you were married, especially as a woman, and you lost your husband, you were on your own. Nobody took care of you. I mean, you had very little, unless you got remarried, which some widows did. Now, if you were a man and you lost your spouse, it was easy. You just went out and found another woman and married her, and that was okay, I guess, you know, in the first century. But in the first century, if you were a widow, you were alone, you were poor, and you didn't matter. So Jesus says to the disciples, come here. Look at verse 42. He says to them in verse 42, he says, and a poor widow came. Stop right there. Forget about her offering. Forget about what she puts in the box. Forget about it. He noticed a poor widow. I don't know how many times in my life, but I can remember several times where it felt like in my life, I didn't matter. I'm sure that there are some people that are here right now that feel like, I don't know that I matter. I don't know that I matter to my city. I don't know that I matter to my family. I don't know that I matter to a church. I don't know that I matter. And here's what I'm here to tell you today as Jesus is gathering his disciples. Every person matters. Make sure you know that. Don't leave here today until you get your life around that you matter to God. Now, there's two things that are important about this. Here's the first one. You matter because God created you. You matter. You know, it's funny, in our society, it's like the more power you have, the more position you have, maybe even the more money you had, because in this story, you'll notice that Jesus does mention a few rich people, but he notices the widow because he wants the disciples to notice that every person matters. I don't know about you, but I want to be a church like that. Anybody else? I want to be a church that makes sure that every person matters. See, the first part of this is that you need to know that you matter to God. What's interesting, though, is that if you look at your own life, there's probably some things that you'd want to change. Like, for example, there's probably some things about the way you look that you would want to change, right? Because many of us are like, you know, if I didn't look this way and maybe looked a different way, then maybe I would matter more. Like, how many of you, and I'm going to tell you what mine is, but how many of you would be honest enough today to say that there is something about your physical bodies that you would like to change? Just something small, maybe something about your physical look. When you look in the mirror, you're like, ah, boy, I'd like to change that. Is anybody being willing, you know, honest enough to say, I'm willing to admit that there's something I would like to change about the way I look? Could you just raise your hand, just raise them up high, and look around. Look around at the people around you and try to guess what it is. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That would be dangerous, actually, especially if you're a spouse, right? So let me tell you what mine is. I look in the mirror, and oftentimes I wonder to myself, man, I think I would look a whole lot better if my nose was smaller. Because I've had people tell me that I've got a big nose. And I'd like a smaller nose. But you know, the reality is that when you get around the idea that God has created you and you matter, church, does that help you? I know it helps me. You matter. You matter to the kingdom of God. You matter. Here's the second thing about this that's really important. What you do matters. Not only who you are matters, but what you do matters. Because there's people all around you that are watching your life and you don't even know it. See, I had a coach in college. His name was Coach Vena. He was from Bolivia. His real name was Julio Vena. And he was my soccer coach in college. And he was one of the five most influential men in my life. He didn't know that until about 5 years ago. When I watched him when I was playing soccer, I watched the way he responded to players. I watched the way he responded to his wife. I watched from a distance the way he responded to bad calls on the field. I watched the way he responded to other, you know, people on the campus. It was amazing. He didn't even know it. I looked at him, and for some reason, I watched him, and I thought, man, I want to be like Coach Vena. Have you ever had a person like you, like, I want to be like them, right? You've noticed, I mean, they're just amazing people. Coach Vena is one of them. And he never knew it until 5 years ago. I was in Atlanta going back to my alma mater, and I saw him on campus. He had retired. And I went up to him. I said, Coach, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, sure, of course. He remembered me because I was a player. And And so I, you know, he's a little guy like this. And so I walked up to him, put my arm around him. I said, Coach, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're one of the most influential men in my life. Because you know what? I just watched your life and I wanted to be like you. He was blown away. He had no idea. Because you see, every person matters. Not only who you are, but what you do. 30 years ago, when I took my first church, I was so excited. We were going to Malaysia at the time, and it was my very first church, although I had done student ministries before, and I had helped out with, you know, some kids ministry, but I really was never a senior pastor until 30 years ago when I went to Malaysia. And when I got to Malaysia, I was so excited. I still remember the feeling I had. I got into my office the very first day, 30 years ago. I got into my office the very first day, and I got my Bible out, Bible study like this, and I opened it up, and all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, like I'm the senior pastor now, and so I got to lead this church, and I got to prepare a sermon in order to be able to stand up in front of a group of people and open up God's word to them. And I realized in that moment 30 years ago that all through my theological training I had never taken a preaching class. And the reason for that is because as I looked in on the preaching class, I thought, man, I didn't want to do it that way. And so I had never taken a preaching class. And some of you are like, well, that's obvious. So I sat there in my office. I'm not kidding. I sat there in my office and I had my Bible open and I thought, what do I do? I had no idea what to do. So I called my father-in-law in the U.S. I can't tell you how much that phone call cost. I know it was a lot. Because I called from Malaysia to Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I said, Dad, I don't know what to do. And I'll never forget what he told me. Two things. He said, the first thing, David, he said, when you open up your Bible, he said, make sure that you read the Bible and you feed your soul first. He said, before you prepare a sermon, feed your soul. I've never forgotten that. Church, I'm here to tell you that every week, when I spend time in God's word, I want you to know that I read it first because I want to feed my soul. And then I look at it and say, well, what can we learn together, you know? Second thing he says, I believe in you. You can do it. I believe in you. And those words have rung in my head for 30 years. That's the kind of power that his words had. Because you see, every person matters, who they are and what they do. And Jesus gathers his disciples together and he says to them, hey, you see that widow over there? She might not matter to the leaders, because if you read the verses before, widows didn't matter. But Jesus says to the disciples, she matters. She matters to me. That's the first thing that we learn in this short little story. Here's the second thing that we learn. It's in verse 42. Let me read it for you. You got your Bibles open, right? And it says, and a poor widow came in, and she put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. Now, you probably don't know this, but those two coins equal to one day's salary in the first century. But that's really not the big deal. That's really not what matters here. Here's the second thing that I think God, through Jesus, said to his disciples and maybe is saying to us today as he gathered them together in the temple. I don't know if he whispered or what, but he gathered them and said, every person matters. And here's the second thing, jot it down. Every gift matters. Every gift matters. I don't know if you've been wrestling, because my guess is that some of you are wrestling. I don't know if you've been wrestling over these last 4 weeks, because anytime there's a vision that's cast for us as a church family, it means that we need to come together and we need to be able to offer to God offerings that require sacrifice and require us to think through it and maybe not do a few things and make a really important financial decision. But one of the biggest questions that comes up when we have a time like this is a question that goes like this. Write this question down, because chances are some of you are wrestling with this question. And the question is this: why does giving to God matter? Like, he doesn't need my money, right? So why does it matter? And why did Jesus pull these guys together and say, you see that woman over there? There were two coins, but you see what she did? She matters, and her gift matters, because every gift matters. Every gift matters. Well, let me give you the answer to the question, why does giving to God matter? Let me give you two answers. I could probably give you 20, but let me give you, I think, the two best answers to that question, because as a church, this is where we're going. So if you're a visitor, just sit back and know that as a church, we got a vision. And maybe that's just enough to say, you know, I want to be a part of this. Answer number one to the question, why does giving to God matter? Number one, because it's through giving that we become most like God. You see, Christ followers ought to be the most generous people on the planet. Would you agree, church? On the planet. Because the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he, what? Gave. But giving goes just beyond our money. Certainly money's involved, but do you realize that when you forgive somebody, did you realize that the word forgive has the word give in it? Think about that. And when you forgive someone, it isn't that you're accepting their behavior, and it isn't because you're excusing the behavior. That's not what you're doing. Here's what you're doing when you forgive somebody. You're going to prevent it from destroying you. That's where forgiveness is. And you forgive because God forgave you, right? That's what forgiveness is, because every gift matters. Grace. Let's talk about grace for a minute. If you don't know, and I think most of you probably do, that grace is giving to someone something that they don't deserve. That means that you can give something to your spouse, you can give something to your kids, you can give something to your friends, you can give something to your coworkers, you can give something to your neighbors that they don't deserve. And when you give grace, you are being like God. That's giving. Let me talk about mercy. I think you know what mercy is. Mercy is not giving someone something that they deserve, right? And if you don't give something that someone deserves, you're acting like God. And it gets hard. What about your time? When you give somebody your time, you're giving them your very presence. And by giving your very presence, you recognize that every person matters. You matter because your time matters. I don't think we often think about it this way, but let me remind you that if you were in the course of the day, at any moment, in the car, when you get to the workplace, at lunch, or in a meeting, wherever it is, if you stop, you don't even have to close your eyes. If you stop and you pray in Jesus' name, did you know that the Creator of the universe is listening? That's how much time he has for you. I don't know about you, but I find that amazing. So you see, giving is, first of all, most being most like God. That's the first reason why giving to God matters. Here's the second reason. You ready for it? Second reason is because giving shrinks the power that money has in our life. I'm willing to admit that money has a power in my life. Anybody else? Money has power in your life. And that's why the American dream is such a powerful thing. Anybody notice in the news this last week that Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, died on Monday? 65 years of age, died of cancer. And he left $26 billion. That's a B, billion. Guess how much he took with him? Zero. Now, he was a philanthropist and did lots of things, and I'm not here to criticize Paul Allen. Here's what I'm saying. Paul Allen is a great example, maybe the poster child for the American dream. Am I right, church? But you see, when you and I give, you know what happens? We get to trade the American dream for the kingdom dream. That's powerful. And so the power of money shrinks in our lives. I think those are just two good reasons in my life as to why we need to do that. And I think that's why Jesus brings these disciples together and says, you see that widow? She matters. See those two little coins? It matters. You know, if I had time, I would take you in your Echo book to page 35. I opened that page with you last week, and if you have your book, you could actually turn there. It's called The Giving Chart. And the problem with putting a giving chart in there is because some of you are like, well, what if my number is not on that giving chart? Well, the giving chart is not about the numbers. It's just a way to say that at the top, some of us might be able to, over a period of 2 years, give $2,500 or some other number. At the bottom of that, it says $700,000. There are some people in our church family who have the ability to give a six-figure dollar amount. And the issue is not where you find yourself on that chart. In fact, your number may not even be on that chart. Here's what I'm telling you. Every gift, say with me, every gift matters. And Jesus tells that to this group of disciples here. And here's the third one. Jot the third one down, because the third one is actually, I think, the more important one. And Jesus says this. The size of your faith matters. He talks about this widow, and he does mention the two coins, but the bigger point to the whole thing is faith. Do you realize that the size of your faith matters? It matters. Do you know what faith is? Faith is simply believing God at His word. Faith is just believing God at His word. Faith is putting your hope and trust in Him in some area of your life and believing God at His word. How many of you know that God promises that He'll give you peace that passes all understanding? How many of you know that God can give you joy? How many of you know that God can give you courage? How many of you know that God can give you perseverance? How many of you know that God can help you forgive in your own personal life? How many of you know that? If you know that, you understand that faith is believing God at His word. If you're here today and you're struggling with something in a relationship, what you need in your life is the faith from God to be able to persevere and work through it. If you're here today and you're struggling with a habit, here's what you need. You need faith by the strength of God to conquer that habit in your life. If you're dealing with something at work or in your business where it's easy to take a shortcut or it's easy to kind of maybe even compromise on your values so you get that contract, so you get that deal, so you get that vendor, it's going to take faith on your part to do the honest thing and the integral thing in your life. It's going to take faith in your life if you're dealing with an addiction. That do you realize that he who is in you is stronger than he who is in the world? It's going to take faith on your part if you're struggling with self-esteem, because you need to trust God that God loves you and you're a son or a daughter of the King, and it's going to take faith. In your finances, it's going to take faith, because the size of our faith is what matters. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says it this way: without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. That's how important it is. Faith. One of the reasons, by the way, if you're a guest here, one of the reasons why we gather every single week and we think it's really that important is because when we gather, our faith is strengthened. When we gather, our faith is enlarged. Am I right, church? It's enlarged. Because faith matters. See, if you're a disciple, you want to know what matters to Jesus? It's right here in the story. Three things: people, giving, and faith. If you take His whole ministry, if you take the Sermon on the Mount, if you take all the things that Jesus says, you could almost reduce it to these three things: that what matters to Jesus is people, giving, and faith. So I'm gonna pray for you. Because I know that there's some of you that don't feel like you matter. And I want to pray over us, because some of us are wrestling with giving in our life. Some of us need faith in a circumstance in our life. So would you just bow your heads for just a second, as if nobody else is here but you, whether you're at Springboro or Northmont Online. Let's just pray and invite God. Father, I thank you that we matter. And I pray, Lord, for those that came in here today and any one of our campuses who feel, Lord, as if like they just don't matter. And I pray that you would tell them how much you love them, how valuable they are, how their lives and the things that they do make differences they don't even know about. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we wrestle with giving. Not only as we're thinking about it for this vision that we believe you've given to us, but just in life, because it makes us most like you. And Lord, for those that are facing relational situations, financial circumstances, habits and addictions that are just absolutely dragging them down, I pray, Father, for businessmen and women, for those of us that work in cubicles and offices and corner offices, you would help us to have the faith we need to live out our daily lives for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you.